Ladies and gentlemen, Defense Minister Gordon will make an opening statement, and we will then take questions. If we could have quiet, we will begin.
The following information is rated top secret. You have already passed through security clearance Alpha and Beta, as well as the retina scan. So by now, you must be aware of the sensitive nature of the material you are about to receive. Let me stress to you one more time, what you will learn today pertains to top priority planetary security and must not be discussed with anyone outside this briefing. Any breach of this pact will be dealt with swiftly and firmly. Is that clear to everyone here today in the Red Room?
Yes, sir.
Fine. As Zardonian Defense Minister, I have called you men and women together for this most important meeting. As base commanders of the more than 50 anti-ballistic missile sites around the planet, you already know your duties. Each one of you is responsible for the defense and protection of 6 cities in your area. It has long been Zardonian policy not, I repeat, not to maintain first strike possibility. Our weapons are by design and intention only defensive.
But Mr. Defense Minister,
Please, one at a time.
But Mr. Defense Minister, doesn't that leave us vulnerable to enemy attack?
Of course not. This is why I have called you here today. Recent intelligence data gathered by our agents, as well as satellite and long-range wave interception, have revealed a disturbing new find.
Can you tell us some of the unclassified details, sir?
We have good reason to believe that one of our closest neighbors, the planet Krytol, is preparing an attack on our planet. I know this does not come as a surprise to many of you who have long felt that the Krytolians could not be trusted to keep their word in regards to the non-aggression pact, but we in planetary defense felt and continue to feel that a galactic policy of peaceful coexistence could not be conducted from a foundation of mistrust. We had hoped that all planets involved in the pact would take their responsibilities seriously, and indeed most have. But there is an exception to every rule, and it now appears that Krytol is that exception. But then, the Krytolians have always been an exceptional people.
Could you fill us in on some of the details about the enemy, Mr. Minister?
Certainly. As you know, Krytol has a much longer history in this galaxy than Zardon. Zardon and her sister planets were made habitable by the Project Exodus, which created the oxygen-rich atmosphere and made life possible on what was once a barren, rocky world. Life was hard for the early settlers on Zardon. Through their hard work, they helped create a green and fertile world for later generations.
But, sir, any history student knows that. Tell us about the Krytolians themselves. What makes them tick?
Krytol is the only originally inhabited planet in this solar system. Life has always been hard on Krytol. Its immense size creates a gravitational pull 3 times as strong as it is here on Zardon. This burden has weighed heavily on the shape and development of Krytolian civilization. Their physical development shows this clearly.
Sir, some of us have never seen a Krytolian. What do they look like?
Krytolians are short, hardly ever exceeding 4 feet in height. Thick-limbed, thick-skinned people, they have had to struggle since the beginning of time against a hostile environment. With water supplies confined to polar regions, plant life is scarce on their planet. Without ground cover to prevent erosion, the planet developed as a desolate, wind-swept world. Massive dust storms blackened the sky for decades on end. The conditions on the surface of the planet, plus its heavy gravitational pull, made it impossible to build any structure more than several feet high. So the Krytolians became, by necessity, a subterranean civilization.
Subterranean? You mean they never go outdoors?
Hardly ever. And then only for brief periods of time. Our sociologists think that it was there, deep underground, that the aggressive tendencies of the Krytolian race were born. Overcrowded and Faced with constant shortages of food and water, the Krytolian learned to depend on his or her brute strength for survival. They also faced ongoing battles with the other forms of subterranean life, especially the fierce rock worms, which can grow as large as 50 feet long. As a result of these and other hardships, the Krytolian civilization never developed past the point of feudalism. To this day, Krytol is still ruled by a council of warlords, each of whom controls a set amount of land. It is much like the planet Earth in the Middle Ages. Up until now, their antisocial behavior has been a problem only to the few scientists and merchants who have had to deal with them.
But something has changed, hasn't it, sir? There are rumors of a Krytolian attack.
I'm afraid that is true. It now appears that the Krytolians have developed their own arsenal of weapons, fashioned after our own, but with one important difference. While our missiles are designed exclusively for defense, the Krytolian weapons seem geared for attack. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with the heaviest of hearts that I must tell you, it now appears that war is at hand. A Krytolian attack is expected any day. As we speak, our ambassador to Krytol is meeting with Jart the 11th, head of the Krytolian Council, in an attempt to avert what would be a tragic war for both our people. Let us pray, each in his or her own way, that he will be successful. If not, we will have to contemplate the unthinkable horror of war.
Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of miles away, on the planet Krytol.
So, it's my old friend, the Zondonian Ambassador it is. And me, in a grumpy mood. Best watch his tongue. Or he may find out what happened to Jart number 1 through 10. Can hear him now. Must protest in no uncertain terms. Clubberwobbles! I am not being of talk and visit, talk and visit. Action is my cup of mud. Oh well, such is the fate of great men, to be surrounded with fools. How do I look, Queenie?
Grand, my lovey, grand. Here, let me straighten your ogle.
Stop it! Stop it!
There, that's better. Now you look like ruler, not gaproot farmer.
All right. Show the old fool in. Ambassador Richards, what a pleasant surprise. Come in.
Thank you, Jart. It is nice to see you again. And this must be the new Mrs. Jart, charmed. I am sorry I couldn't make it to the wedding. You did get my gift, of course.
Wifey loves grooming and producent. Come on, Marg, baby.
I'd love to, but I haven't time. I am here on urgent business. As head of the Krytolian Council, you and I must talk at once.
Talk and visit. Proceed.
Your Excellency, as representative of the planet Zardon, I must
protest in no uncertain terms. Really? You aliens are predictable. Next, you'll be telling me you believe those outlandish rumors about our rocket aim at your cities.
Bluntly put, that was the thrust of my conversation, yes. Our intelligence force has picked up strong signs that you may be preparing an attack on our planet. If this is so, I must urge you to reconsider.
Before so much rubbish! In spite of our gross appearance, we Kratorians are kind like you. We would never attack our friends and helpers on Zardon. Never!
But as they spoke, something treacherous was underway at the Kratolian missile headquarters on the far side of the planet.
Battle stations! Battle stations! Prepare to launch the first wave of interplanetary ballistic missiles! Target all cities and missile bases! We will show those puny Zardonians who has the power in this galaxy! Attack!
To fight. Here on Zardon, we work hard and try to do what's right.
We would never be the first ones to stage an attack. But when someone shoots at us, we shoot back.
Now the battle has begun. Krytol ships are near. In just a little while, their missiles will be here.
Calling all base commanders with nerves of steel. I hope that you've been practicing, 'cause this time is for real. Missile command.
Missile command.
I've got the power right here in my hand. Missile command, missile command,
missile command,
missile command,
missile command.
Gotta blast them out of the sky. Show them no pity. We can do it if we try, 'cause we got to save the city.
Missile command.
Missile command.
Missile command.
Missile command.
excited, approaching our planet through Stargate 19. The battle is upon us. Be brave and true, and the victory shall be ours.
We are Zardon commanders, and we will protect her from all who would strike from afar. And as Zardon commanders, we'll fight through the end for this planet, our home in the stars. Warriors, be with the pride. Battle will win and fight it all. Let the universe beware.
Has come at last. We will defeat the weak Zardonian forces and gain our rightful place in the galaxy. Hail, Krytor!
We are Zardon commanders, and we will protect her from all who will strike from the horn. And as Zardon commanders, we'll fight to the end for this planet, our home.
Attention, crew. As you know, we are on red alert. I repeat, red alert. All personnel should be at their battle stations. We expect the Krytolian attack to begin momentarily. This is not a drill. From the moment the Krytolian missiles enter our radar range, we will have no more than 30 seconds to respond with our anti-ballistic missiles. We will be firing at three. Repeat. Three different types of weapons. The Krytolian interplanetary ballistic missiles, plus their cruise missiles, both smart and dumb. I do not have to remind you of the importance of skill and accuracy in firing these weapons. The very life and fate of the planet, and indeed the whole free universe, depends on stopping the enemy attackers. Good luck.
Commander Samuels switched off the inner base communicator and pushed his chair back from the command headquarters weapons console. Before him, in the semi-darkness of the command room, the tracking screens glowed an eerie shade of green, and the missile standby lights flickered in sequence. It was a sight Sam, as his staff called him, had seen hundreds of times before in the battle simulation chamber. He had felt the rumbling of the concrete and alloy-reinforced floor beneath his feet, and the heat of the blast simulators. He had tracked and destroyed thousands of attacking missiles, but now all that seemed 1,000 light years away. Those had all been practice sessions, and this time the threat was real. If he felt the floor rumble, it would mean that a missile had penetrated Zardonian airspace and scored a hit on one of the six cities under his command. If he felt heat, it would not be from the gigantic arc lamp heaters hidden in the simulator ceiling, but from the deadly glow of a radioactive blast nearby. Any target that appeared on his tracking screen would not be a computer animation, but an actual Krytolian IBM with enough explosive power to wipe out an entire town in a millisecond. Commander Samuels wiped his damp palms across his slacks and looked around the room. They're all here, he thought. The whole crew. On the far side of the command center, studying the readouts of the interfaced radar computers was Jed Morris. Jed had fought alongside Captain Samuels in the battle to free the Manta Ring planetoids from the Gargoyne domination. He was the best in the fleet. If there is a Krytolian missile within 5 light-years of here, Jed will spot it, thought Sam. Beside Jed, at the Missile Coordination and Deployment Board, was Dora Ming. Her fingers flew across the hundreds of buttons and keys at her control with amazing speed. In another age, Dora might have been a beauty queen. Her long black hair and hybrid Asian features gave her an uncanny beauty. But of course, the days when a woman was judged on physical appearance alone had long since passed. Nowadays, they fought alongside the men as equals and in some cases as superiors. Dora played second fiddle to no one. She was the finest missile deployment officer around. And she knew it. And finally, at the status and communications patch bay was Xenon. From his magnetic anchored position in the situation chair, he controlled the thousands of bits of information that came into the command room every minute. Although his LifeTech skin gave him a surprisingly human appearance, there was never a human born who could perform the amazing number of functions Xenon could. His silicone and gas chip memory could hold and sort millions of pieces of data and process them for accuracy, security, and priority. When his alpha circuits were engaged, he could switch all incoming data to the beta or gamma inputs. It was like having three separate but interrelating brains online. Captain Samuels envied the cool, efficient way Xenon went about his business. No irrelevant memories to get in the way, no personal attachments. And yet, the android always had a pleasant smile and cheerful hello for everyone. He even liked to play crossword puzzles, a compatibility programming detail that made it even easier to forget that he was only 18 months old and had been assembled at the Defense Technology Plant in New Florida. They're a fine crew, thought Captain Samuels. The best. Suddenly, the tense quiet was shattered as Jed spotted a small blue dot sweeping across his radar screen at incredible speed. First one, then another. It was the first wave of Krytolian missiles.
Krytolian IBMs approaching through Stargate 19.
I see them, Jed.
Range 53,000 miles and closing fast.
There's no question about it. They're in our target vector, Captain.
All reporting bases confirmed. Sighted and heading up underneath missiles.
And what about central clearance? Do I have permission to engage the enemy?
Clearance to read. Repeat, clearance to read.
Then what are we waiting for, guys? Let's go get them. Stand by to deploy the first 10 ABMs, Dora.
ABMs ready and holding, Captain.
Launch window position. Now.
Missiles in firing position, Captain.
Auto radar honors locked on target, Sam. The birds are ready to fly.
Let's wait for the enemy to maneuver just a little closer. Let old Jart think he's gonna nail us with the first round. A little psychological warfare.
Launch tube temperature critical, Captain. We can't hold them much longer.
Range 22,000 miles. They're picking up speed.
Come to Papa. Come on.
Online base station to relaying concern. When do we think we need help?
Stonewall them, Xenon. Come on, you little devils. I got a surprise for you. Oh, Jart must be dancing a victory jig by now.
Range 12,000 miles. For God's sake, Sam, fire those things.
Fire. Now!
All birds have left the nest.
I've got them up on the screen.
And so does Jart, I'll bet. That ought to curl his beard.
Uh-oh, we got a problem. Bird 2, guidance malfunction. I think it's going to be off target.
We'll know in 5 seconds. Scheduled impact, now.
We got 5 of the 6. One got through. Range 6,000 miles. Oh, my God, it's headed straight at New Chicago.
How long have we got?
12 seconds to impact.
Fire, now!
The bird's away.
Looking good.
Red alert in New Chicago. Red alert in New Chicago. Outcome pending. Stand by.
Come on, baby, come on!
3 seconds to impact. 2, 1.
We got it!
Yes! Screens are clear, Captain. We have repelled the first wave.
Online bases relaying congratulations, Captain.
I'll tell them thanks, but it's a little too early for congratulations. That was just the first wave.
The battle's not over yet.
And Captain Samuels was right. At the missile command center on the planet Krytol, Jart and his war council were huddled, planning their next attack.
1,000 Primolian curses! All of our missiles were destroyed! A lucky shot had they. Next time, their luck run out might eventually... We will succeed in destroying our target sites. Battle not over yet. Far from over.
Jart was right. The battle was far from over. All across the wide surface of the planet Zardon, in dozens of missile launch sites, other base commanders besides Captain Samuels were waiting to take up the fight. They watched their radar screens, their fingers poised on the launch button, always on guard, always ready. As base commanders, they had taken a vow to protect and defend the planet, and they would fight to their last breath to keep that vow, to keep their home safe from tyrants who would bully their way across the universe. They are the brave men, women, and... Oh, yes. Let's not forget, brave androids of the Missile Command.